All right. The reason I was very wanting a very specific visual picture prior to our beginning. Before a session, the questions a woman asks are usually prompted by my interest, because these are questions I'd like to have underway before we begin. Understand that at this time there will be many places located in various areas of not only the United States, but many countries in the world, that will be asked to fulfill a very specific function in the years to come. It is very important that we not lose sight of the fact that as difficulties arise on the earth plane, there needs to be areas where people can continue to live a very simple, yet very deeply integrated and very well grounded life. Many places are not able to sustain this because of the tremendous amount of coming and going. A large city, for example, is not very helpful for the maximum spiritual awareness, for reasons that are obvious. The comings and goings, the vibrational frequency is such that things are in an agitated state, so on. I don't need to go into that. But in the particular valley that you have fallen into, it is, of course, absolutely true that it was not by chance that you arrived there. What is very important, however, is that those of you who feel drawn to that area and also at the same time feel very drawn to coming to a deeper understanding within yourself of who you are and therefore putting it into action in the world in itself, to pay close attention to your each in your own specific way, because what will happen if you are following the maximum divine plan for that area is that each one will be led to a different thing. For example, I do not envision any great success in the so-called commune aspect of things. What I do see as a great success is individual families, each one doing something quite different, yet somehow forming an organic whole. For example, there is a lot that can be done in that area in the realm of farming, so-called. I mean simplified home gardening. This is not to be looked at slightly, because although it seems that it might be a very mundane thing, it is not at all mundane, especially in times of difficulties. You see, the more the difficulties arise, the more people will be called on for their own inner resources. And if they have not built a framework, they will find it very difficult to survive. The financial situation in the world will be such that there will be need for the simplicity of things. So the answer to the question is that as the light moves across the land, and as you both know, I'm speaking now to these two and to the people that they will be communing with when they return, the divine force is moving very strongly at this time across the land. Be absolutely aware of that. And as it moves, there are certain areas that there is a more definite grounding. It is not an accident that it is a small and not a very financially oriented community. It would surprise me very much to see across this land tremendous power manifest in great financial areas. It just simply is not going to be the plan. And if you would like to know why, it's very simple. The divine needs to break down all forms. The greatest form existing in the mind of man on this particular area that you call the United States today is there is one God, and it's called money. That is the God that rules at this time. The only way to begin to break down that form, you see, is to begin to have those areas which are not financially successful be the ones that end up having the greatest success. By that I mean not financial success, but deep inner success. That their homes are flourishing, their relationships are flourishing, their gardens are flourishing, their businesses, small as they might be, are doing substantially enough to meet their needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a tremendous need to show, you see, people have to lead the way. How can you lead the way in the old ways? It takes a whole new way of seeing things. And this is why all of these centers are coming up all over, and they will be all over. But the main thrust is, can you go through the hardship? Can you trust yourself to know that you must begin to do things that are very different from what you were used to doing? Can you begin in small ways and be content with the smallness of it? For example, in your case, I think you should take it seriously about teaching. And it doesn't matter if you have 5 people that come or 100. I think you must begin, do you see? And the beginning is all important. Do what it is you feel led to do. Take in as many as come to be with you and teach what you have to give. Do you understand? And you know very well the law that as you give, so then shall you receive. If you do not give, you will not reward. So that is absolutely, I would say, a maximum need for you. It doesn't matter how many come. Do you see? You begin. Everywhere we must begin in small ways. The day of the vastness, of the great buildings, of the great holdings, of the great megalopolis, these are going, because that is not the humane way to deal with human beings. Do you understand? It is not the way. It is not the way the divine would choose to serve his children. It is not that way. Therefore, those who are willing are now being asked to take on these things. For example, sir, I'm quite sure that you have been considering, because it was discussed, beginning a small gardening enterprise on your own land, correct? This is the maximum kind of thing, you see, and you just begin. And it just seems to you, well, this seems like something I should do, and so on and so on, and then you begin. But you see, there will come a time when it is not just a momentary thing. What you have done begins to be meaningful in a vaster sense. Do you see? Others will come, they will understand this, they will begin to move into their own understanding of what you've done, and they will do as you have done. Now, all over this valley, there will be people like you, but not doing the same thing. You see, the similarity is totally unimportant. What really is needful is that all of the different ones will feel moved in certain ways to bring this forward, and this is their job. Whatever it is they feel, and you know, one of the problems will be that they will feel perhaps one of the main things that you will find difficult in other people is that they will not particularly know to trust their own feelings, do you see? They will feel, well, this is what I should do, but yet on the other hand, they will say, well, it makes no real logical sense in my mind, therefore I don't think I will give myself to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you could say anything at all to your friends and your acquaintances that gather back there is, do not let your logic lead you at this time, because it is the day of the intuition. It is the day of moving on the intuitive level to understanding of what you wish to do. And however capricious it might seem, if it seems to be a helpful thing, I'm not speaking of destruction now, you understand. I'm speaking of helpful things. If it seems to be so, then I would say by all means, follow it. And if, I would say, in the next 2 years, as things materialize in that area, you will see more and more of this happening, each in their own, people just taking up small things that begin small, and then pretty soon the meaning becomes clearer. Once again, I repeat, I see no long-term project for great and vast communities. I see it only as very small and yet very meaningful banding together within the area. Now, the reason that you know that the divine force is using that area is, are people coming in? If they are coming in, what kind of people are coming? If they are the ones who you would illustrate with the words, the New Age, then know that there is something happening. It is not chance that these people gather. On the other hand, watch who's leaving. That is also very interesting, to see who are the people that leave. You can tell a lot, because you see, in the last analysis, my friends, it is the divine power that decides who can stay in an area and who cannot. It is the divine power. Because if it is chosen for a spiritual center of any real movement at all, the people who are negative will finally become very uncomfortable. That is one of the laws. It becomes uncomfortable. Now, they don't manifest it that way. They say, oh, I'd like to leave here and get a better job. Or they say, well, I don't feel that this is quite the place because my grandmother needs me. And I mean, you know, there are always reasons to leave. But the truth of the situation usually is that the area and the stepped-up energy comes to a place where most people say, I must stay here. I have no idea why I'm here. It seems to me to be insane, but I select to stay. Or the ones that say, it's impossible. I really don't feel right here, and they will leave. I think you should watch the patterns carefully. But as to what one should do in an area, any time you feel yourself moved to do something of a creative, independent, and dynamic nature, no matter how small, I would say, by all means, follow in that. And whoever hears this tape, I would give that same suggestion to. They will know within themselves. Sometimes it may manifest as something they've had in the back of their mind for years. Just a little idea they've always had. And so now comes the chance. And it seems very strange it should be in this particular place that they should manifest it, but it begins to happen. So this is the kind of thing that I think you should be aware of. I would also ask you to be very careful in this area of not getting too involved in wasting your energies in things that are not, how tactfully can I say this, not wasting your energies on things that you suspicion within your being are not of the highest, are not maximum. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. There will be demands as this begins to move, as more of this begins. Watch carefully those things that you wish to be involved in and those that you don't. Whatever comes up, you will end up being important as far as being a focus, as far as being beginners, you know, starting things. Others will come to you. Just be careful. I just put that out as a warning because you may find yourself being used badly, and I would ask you to give good thought to that. Go with your intuition. Do not let your mind say, it sounds worthy, it sounds correct. Go with what you feel within yourselves, and if you feel this is right mutually, it would be best if you could make a mutual agreement because there is harmony between you. You should be able to come to a good balance of decision, and then go with whatever is the consensus of what you're doing. Now, do you understand? Well, if you follow that and then keep careful watch of the results of that, then you, of course, become increasingly sure of it. And then it is then becomes, of course, your way of life. But you've been doing that for years. But in any case, that is what I would say. Is there anything further?
Oh, yeah. What is coming about that there is such a rush for people to get their spiritual growth and tell and work so hard at this particular time? Because one group said that 10 years would be too late. What is coming about?
I hope you understand me when I say that I cannot answer that question. The reason is very simple. There is, without question, the possibility of some very difficult and far-reaching chaos to manifest soon on the earth plane. And one of the reasons that we keep, no matter who they are, they keep calling for people to come now at this time to become serious about their plan, about their path, is simply because it is necessary to get the balance going now, not later, now. Because as the energy moves in, it will not simply come in as positive energy. You understand this. It's energy. And whoever receives it is going to use it. And therefore, we are asking for the maximum use of positive energy in order to keep the thing in balance. Because when the divine moves, it is power. It is power. And then it goes into the receivership of each one. And then each one has their destiny to use it in whatever way they see fit. And why we ask now is the main problem with the divine force having any great effect on the earth plane is most people are lazy. They do not really want it. They talk about it, they think about it, they read books about it, but they don't do it. And therefore, nothing is accomplished. You know, you either go forward or you fall back. You know, this idea that if you just simply read the books and talk about it, that somehow this is making changes, well, does it? Well, look very carefully and see, does it? Or when something comes at you, are you willing to get up and help, or do you simply just not do anything? Are you willing to move into it and put yourself behind it, or do you find excuses to go other ways? What is it that happens to you when something emotional hurts you? Are you able to rise up in forgiveness, or do you throw up the veil and just get angry and stomp away? So if there are changes being made on the deep levels, then you know that something basic is happening. But most people, my friends, most people do nothing. They love to talk, they love to think, but they don't like to do it. They just, to forgive, oh my, to forgive, to really forgive, to really work yourself until you drop for somebody else, to really put yourself out totally as a benefit for someone, no. Oh no, it's much better to give a little here and give a little there, because there's always a background, well, after all, I have to take care of myself because that's my responsibility. You know, the excuses are endless. So the movement now is to ask. You know, they're going around with the begging bowl out for spiritual help, because now is the time, because the power is moving and it will move. And we just simply ask, let us get as many who are ready and willing to really do something, to put aside all the talk and really do the action. And it only happens in action on the earth plane. That is where you see it manifest. So that is the reason. I'd rather not go into the nature of the difficulties, because the less said about that, I hope, the less thought cluster will go around those particular events. I'm sure you're aware of that. But you know them all. They've been publicized in all of the network papers and so on. You get a... I have nothing new to say. It's just the same. But the problem is that they are possible. And this is what we are hoping to work to some kind of balance. You were going to say something earlier.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, I asked earlier, what does he mean for this week? What does he mean that we should be doing? Because the emphasis has been on doing. And you partly answered that. Is there any amplification in that? Is that?
Well, in doing, I'm a great believer in not wasting a lot of energy looking around and testing and wondering which is the right thing to do. The human being always makes errors many times, so the less mistakes you can make, the more efficient that you can be. While you're searching for a right thing, do you have any comments on that?
You're right. And again I say, the days of the rational mind making the decisions on the earth plane in America have gone on for many, many years. You understand that? That has been the way things have been decided for a long time. And if there is something very important to be said about the so-called New Age, it is this, that the shift is coming, the emphasis is moving. Not from what your mind can think about, but from what your intuitive faculty says. And in order to do this, there may be times of great error. But there are many, many times of error in the thinking process, my dear friend. You must have seen this already, that oftentimes the brain is the very last thing to come up with the most compassionate, the most far-seeing, the most beautiful and uplifting answer. It often comes up with the most expedient answer, which may not always be that answer which is best for the totality of all persons involved. But the intuitive faculty, or, if you wish to put it this way, the divine within, has within it the embryo understanding to be able to look into any situation, no matter how complex, and be able to know, with a knowing, what action is going to be maximum for all people involved, without any exception. And people say, that's impossible, and I say, no, it is not. And I think the more people try it, the more they will understand that it is possible. The problem is the thinking mind, which is governed by your own desires, your past thoughts, your wishes, your memory, your experience, all of that feeds in to your thought pattern. And when you make your decision, you think you're an independent thinker. Oh no, there is very little independent thinking going on. It is all coming from the past, all the memory bank, all of this just comes into the moment. The decision is made. And then you're stuck with the results. Now, oftentimes they seem to be pleasing. But the thing that one cannot see is, if one was using a different faculty, if one was using the intuitive faculty rather than the mental faculty, might things not be better? This is something that is not testable because you haven't, you know, very few people try it. But if this faculty is developed, which is, if you will, one of the major thrusts of the New Age, then things will move on a more deep and meaningful and humane and humanitarian level. And this is what if you wish to have a so-called Superman, the Superman is going to be the man who is able to know within himself that which will be absolutely maximum for everyone. And that is not impossible. Difficult? Oh, yes. Because we have preconceived ideas of what we want. And this colors everything. But it is possible, and it is coming. And this is the gift. This is the one, and to me, one of the most beautiful gifts of the New Age. I'm not terribly interested in a lot of the other so-called gifts of the New Age. This one, I think, is important. Because most people who live very beautiful lives, if you speak to them carefully and find out precisely what they do, what you will find is that they live on that level of understanding. Now, they may not even be aware of it, but as you go with it through them very carefully, asking what comes up, is this statement. In the last analysis, they say, I felt it was right. Or they say, I had a dream that told me it was right. Or, I just was compelled. Now, these are all words, but to me, they mean the same thing, which is they're using another level of their understanding rather than their rational mind.
I was thinking that's probably what happened when we were felt compelled to go out and do the traveling, meeting with spiritual leaders.
Yes, precisely. It's that same thing. Rationally, what did your mind tell you? What did the discouragement committee tell you when you wanted to begin? You know, this discouragement committee arises whenever you decide there's something you want to do that doesn't fit in with all the rituals that the establishment has planned, you see, and they rise up to say, oh no, but you can't, how about this, and so on, and they list them all. But the fact is very simple, that was what it was, and it was a very beneficial for you and for many others. It was that. But the mind did not tell you. It was a totally different faculty that allowed this. And people can live like that all the time. And I would like to suggest that it's a much better way to live a life than to keep going with the rational faculty over and over and over again. There is a spontaneous joy and excitement that comes from that kind of life that I observe to be missing in the other. Now, I may be wrong. You know, I would leave that in your own hands. If you enjoy that, then by all means do it. But that is my observation. Did that answer your question?
Well, thank you.
Did you want a further statement?
Well, it occurred most everything I'm already doing.
Yes, and that would not surprise me. But let us go back to this doing. You know, you ask what is meant by doing. All right, now doing means different things to whoever is the doer, all right? In some people's case, the doing of something might be inaction. Inaction is doing, too, in a different sense. And there are those, and there are very few, but there are those whose life is meant to be inactive. That is, that they are to do something very quiet, very easy, very ordinary, but all the time they're building the powerhouse. All the time they're being aware in the moment of the power. They're being aware of the presence. They are doing whatever it is they feel deeply drawn to doing. In that moment of moment-to-moment living, they are there. They are not somewhere else. They are there. And therefore, if they are there, they are building power of awareness, which then is used in everything they do, regardless of what it is. Now, other people see that as an inactive life. But if their destiny is to be that way, then that is exactly how they will live their lives. The thing that one has to be careful of is that you don't fall into being in an active life when actually you're just lazy. You know, and that is also possible. But you can tell. You can tell if you're paying close attention, if you feel joy and upliftment and the beauty and created fullness of the day, at the end of a day, then know that this day has been lived in creative oneness. If at the end of the day you feel tired and bored see very little of value and ho-hum, why did we even bother to it, then know that you've not. You know, something is wrong. And you are your own understanding of this. You are your own, what shall we call it, the own barometer of this kind of thing. And I would just suggest to you to pay attention. I mean, everyone can pay attention. If your life is dynamic at the end of the day and you feel that no matter what you've done, but somehow you feel right, because you have been centered, because you have just been there doing whatever it is, then this gives you that. But if, on the other hand, you spend the day ho-humming, wishing you were doing something else, and isn't this terrible, isn't this boring, I see no point, so on, then the end of the day, You're tired. You're exhausted. So exhausted that everything seems meaningless. There's a way of being tired that gives you joy. Of a wonderful day, totally lived, excitingly lived. And you're tired. And aren't you glad? Isn't that a good feeling? And then there's another kind of tired, which is, oh, I wish this day would end. It's been so boring. You know, there's another kind of tired. So the doing is the personal thing. And it differs with everyone in this room. It differs constantly because it is your own essence of what it is you are here to do. You know, I'm sure you all know in this room, you didn't come by caprice. You didn't come because you didn't have anything better to do. You came because this was the best you had to do, and this is the job. And each of you come with a job. And some of these jobs are very mundane, supposedly. But some of the most mundane jobs are the ones that take you to the highest heights. Some of the most glamorous, sophisticated jobs can keep you so earthbound that you never have time to do anything else. So one has to beware of where you place yourself. You know, don't take on something that seems very lofty and yet you find yourself being very, very bored and very tired by it. But if it feeds you and in so doing gives you that exalted feeling, then you know that the day has been done in the fullness of the real self. And that is something one can do every day. But it will differ. So, my dear friend, you know as well as I that doing means nothing more than following that blueprint within that unfolds in the beauty of the moment by paying close attention to what that is. And as I say, it can be nothing. In your case, it is the round of your daily round. And in your case, I mean, these are very simple rounds that go about their business, but very dynamic. No one comes to your house and leaves without sensing the dynamic life you live. And yet, it's very simple, you see. There's nothing complicated. The divine is not complicated. The divine is very simple. The divine is very simple. So what happens in its ease and its round speaks to people in a very deep and meaningful way. And this is sensed. So I say to you, that is living from the center. That is how you would perhaps put it. Leading your life from the center without any question, without any great questing in your mind of should I do this, moving spontaneously from one event to another in a day of ease and understanding and yet of service. Is this kind of a life that ends up being the most helpful, in my opinion? Do-gooders are often led by very strong egos. A do-gooder, you know what I mean when I say a do-gooder. Someone who is trying to do good for other people but happens to have a feeling of superiority in the doing of it. If that is ever in the formula, then know that you are working from the egotistical level and has nothing to do with the divine. Because if you feel superior to those who you serve, then you are not serving them at all. If, on the other hand, you don't, you can. Yes, sir.
Is there something special, though, about this particular place in a sort of a 30, 40-mile radius? Why did Paul Solomon's group come there? Why did David McKnight come there?
Because they felt the power.
So there is a power.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. By all means. I'm sorry I didn't make that clear. When the power moves across the land, there are certain places that people are going to be drawn to. And when they get drawn to them, it's because the power's there. You can tell a lot about the nature of the land by who comes and stays. You know, there are certain areas of this country. Let us take, not this country, that would be too personal, but let us take another country. Let us take, for example, Marseille. You are all aware of the port of Marseille. There was a time when Marseille was a pinnacle of spiritual awareness.
Marseille?
Yes.
France.
But not anymore.
France?
Yes. And now, darkness. But there was a time, and then things changed. And this happens all the time. The power comes and tries to take form. You see, the power tries to take form in certain areas because they feel that the things are maximum for the use of that power, for the use of the people to use it. And then, if it is misused, as it can be, over a long enough period of time, then the power moves on. Mount Fuji is another example. One of the most sublime mountains in the world for many, many centuries, but not anymore. Because if you've been there, you will notice that it is covered from top to bottom with people all making money as fast as they can on the people who come to worship the summit of Mount Fuji. It is losing. Do you see? So now you are in a new spot. These spots begin, and the power is there. Yes, they saw the power, they felt the power, and they chose to manifest that. But eventually, if it is not in harmony with the type of power that is placed there, they will leave. They will be drawn to someplace else. It's very simple. They will do their best, and then they will go.
The general public, their feeling of the valley as far as spiritually is pretty negative.
About the people that have lived there for many years. Oh, yes, but don't let that mislead you, because that doesn't matter. As I say, this is not a long-existing thing. This is not some power that has been there for lifetimes and lifetimes. This is something that is newly arrived. Power is newly arriving in many focus points all over the globe, many of them. And when they come into these areas, people will have a choice. They will either stay and grumble and talk about the outsiders and the outlanders that are coming in to mess up their life, and they will grumble and they will move, or they will stay and somehow begin to appreciate. Because don't forget, eventually they might begin to deeply appreciate. They might begin, and it's the kinds of things that are done quietly and humbly and egotist, you know, without the ego being involved, that end up getting other people's respect. And that is precisely what I'm suggesting. That if you do things quietly instead of in the vastness, do you understand? If things are done quietly, your chance of moving that kind of knowledge out a little further is much greater than if you decide to build great and wondrous things, you know, and have hundreds and thousands of people. Well, you know what the township would do in a case like that. So it's this quietness. It's the being in the moment and doing what you feel has to be done and what you want to do, and somehow knowing that just the very doing of that, it moves out into the area, and it will change. These are early days for that area, early days, and things will change. And some of those who are so negative are, many of them are negative because they have not heard anything else for a long time. Nothing else has really caught their mind. And I think it will begin to happen. I'm sure it will begin to happen slowly. Things in your group, if you begin one, slowly, and then somebody will hear about it, this outlandish lady doing these outlandish things. And they might come for the wrong reason, but they might stay for the right reason, slowly. You have to do the best you can where you are. You just begin where you are. And as you know, you don't have to worry about what people think. It's very unimportant one way or another. Are there any questions about that area that I have not answered? Now, another I will state that the water is important. This is why I asked about it. There has to be certain combinations of things, and one of the things that's necessary, this is why this is a good place, there's water, you know, in the land. Uh-huh. Ah, yes. Well, then you'll have some money in your area. That may or may not go through, by the way. So, are there further questions? There needs to be more light.
No. Why a priest more light sit down and meditate, and why they get, don't seem to get answers or action if kind of doing this until the later stuff.
Well, the truth of that is very simple, that the divine power moves when it's ready and when you stand the best chance of being totally open. When most people sit in meditation, unless they are very, very adept at it, one of the problems with meditation is there is a tension that builds up. Not a positive tension, but a negative tension of expectation, of awaiting, of almost overdoing the situation, if you follow me. There's a tension there that seems to block, in some people's cases, the free movement of clear vision. And therefore, although the power builds, nothing clarifies. But at a later date, when your attention is not upon that, when the tension has gone down to a reasonable level, the power still is there and then manifests itself. Do you see? It's a matter of tension being built, because meditation isn't many things, and it is not many things. And would that be a reasonable take to go into now? Let us start with what it is not. Meditation, if properly used, is not a time to commune with the astral plane. That, I think, is a very common misunderstanding, and I would like to say that if you wish to do that, by all means do, but let us not call it meditation, because what it really is astral travel. Even if you leave your body or you don't, it's irrelevant. What you're doing is going into another world of form, a totally different world of form. It's more interesting, the colors are different, the speed is different, so on. All these things are true. However, with very few exceptions, the astral plane does not teach you a great deal about freedom. It teaches you a lot about form, and it teaches you a lot about the astral world. It teaches you about how thought moves into form and how it's formed, and there's a certain amount of interest in that, no doubt, and I have no complaints about that. I'm simply saying, if your thrust is for freedom and not for just more experience on a more rarefied plane, then I would say to beware and to totally ignore any kind of astral happenings. And I don't care how beautiful they may be. They are really nothing more than form, and they will dissolve. Just as all these forms will someday dissolve, so will those. They have no meaning other than they come into being and then they dissolve. The time lapse may be different, doesn't matter. The fact is, they are not what you see. So it is not that. I do not recommend that meditation be used for any kind of gathering of powers on the physical plane. I know there are many that do it, and again, I say that is their business. I simply say I do not recommend it. If you have a teacher who is highly skilled in this, then and this is your desire, so be it. But I think to sit in meditation in order to gain powers of any kind is very dangerous, because you see, it works. The thing that people keep forgetting about meditation is, if it's done with wholehearted seriousness, it will work. The people that say meditation doesn't work are the people that don't use it correctly. They simply don't bother because they don't want to take the time. Meditation has been lauded as a way of freedom because it works. So what it really is not is for anything else in my way of feeling. Now what then is it for? Most of you live your lives in such a round of mental chatter, of verbal chatter, of physical activity, of hope, of dream, of jealousy, of fear, of whatever. It goes on and on and on. And most of your day is spent thinking about yourself, your physical self, your mental ideas, your desire structure, whatever it might be. And if you're a very nice person, maybe you'll think about your immediate family. And if you're a very, very nice person, maybe a little further than that. But basically, it revolves around one's own self. This is the nature of the human situation. It may extend to a few others, but not too many. And fine, if that is what gives you joy in your life, I have absolutely no objection to it. I'm simply saying that the thing that makes it so unhappy, from my perception, to see people doing this, is the following. With just a very little bit of effort, well done and well organized, one can put aside all of that and one can feel the peace within. And when one really knows that, with a knowing that transcends all the books and all the talk, then one's life changes. It is a fact. Most people are not going to have a moving experience of spiritual awareness without some kind of activity on their own. Now, of course, the ludicrous part of this, of course, is that the activity itself does not bring it, yet somehow one doesn't get it unless one does the activity. I'm sorry to be, this is one of the paradoxes. The activity, if you wish, the spiritual awareness, the light that you seek, is always there. It has never gone. There's nowhere it could go, no place it could rest other than within you. It is around you and within you and constantly abiding there. It's simply that you don't pay any attention because you're always looking at other things. So meditation is a gimmick, but I think it's a very sublime gimmick. I think it is one of the best gimmicks that has come onto the earth plane in many centuries. And therefore, I suggest it. Those of you who don't need it, fine. That's you. You may you be your own judge. I will only tell you that in my experience, you can fool yourself greatly into thinking you don't need it, simply because you are settling for less than you can really obtain. Because it is there. The peace is there. The knowing is there. The joy is there. And it is simply, are you really believing that statement, or are you just sitting there thinking, oh, well, this is all a bunch of nonsense, but I will might as well do it anyway. That kind of attitude probably will not bring about any great upliftment at any near time. It would be a future time. So how about the person who doesn't believe in meditation? And here I say all these things. All right? I say it's very simple. At this stage, if you don't believe it, you have two choices. You can take it seriously and say, a great many people have believed in it, and therefore I will give it a try. Or you can say, all right, I'm going to read as many books as I can on it that will convince me that it's ready. Because this is the power of books. The written word does end up helping you. But I will tell you this, my friends, if you do not have some degree of belief in it, it will not happen, because you will simply be saying to yourself what I call the negative mantra, which is, you sit down, you get all ready, and you place yourself in the position, and then you say, this isn't going to work, 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 this is nonsense, I wish I were in bed, I'm very tired, I need a cup of coffee, I have to go to the bathroom. It goes on and on and on. The negative mantra takes over. It is only when somehow you have convinced yourself on some level that this absolutely will work, not for some hypothetical Buddha, but for you, and that you best get out there and test it, that then it begins to work for you, and you don't find yourself doing the negative mantra. You find yourself sitting there saying, I'm waiting. And then being totally in the moment, expecting nothing, and yet knowing that something is to come. It is one of those paradoxes again. No one sits in meditation that doesn't expect something. However they might deceive you with their voice, I assure you, no one sits in meditation unless they expect something, either a dropping away of something or an adding to them of something. Something is going to take place. Otherwise, they wouldn't sit there. They may say, well, I'm sitting here for no reason, and that is an attitude that is possible to obtain. But in their being, they know that somehow this is right harmony. This sitting there is the right harmony for that moment. Do you understand? That they know this is the harmonious thing to do. Now, the best way to do your meditation, in my experience, is to simply have no preconceived ideas, because the idea that you put there is the idea that the force has to work through, and that is a great limitation. So simply being there, just being there in whatever way that is meaningful to you, and allowing. I really recommend that we all use this word as much as we can in all phases of our lives, to allow. To allow oneself. How few of you allow yourselves? You don't allow yourself, you restrict yourself. But to allow. Allow others. Not to contradict. Not to argue. Not to... just to allow. Someone does something that doesn't seem to you to be the correct way of doing it? Allow it. Someone says something, mispronounces a word? Allow it. You know, if you can live your life in a state of allowing, not only for others, but for your own being, all of a sudden, you will find that all kinds of things are happening that just allow in a joyous way. Allowing. Allowing things to begin to move that are beyond your dreams. Because, my friends, the major problem with a human being is they do not believe that they are divine. They may say it. They may read it. They may write it. They may hope it, but they do not believe it. Because if they believed it, they would not settle for secondary limitations. They would not. They would not allow that, because they would know that this is not a divine movement. The divine is totally and utterly created, and you would know that. And that power would teach you, and you would move into it, and you would experience it, and it would remove all that. So how then to know that thou art that? Would you state your question again?
Yes, I was wondering whether one could say that there is not a causal connection between performing a spiritual practice and arriving at a more profound state of understanding, but on the other hand, there is a correlation between undertaking the practices and arriving at
the new idea to you on this earth plane that I believe it's Mr. Jung came up with, which he calls synchronicity, correct? It is the same thing, that there is in each moment certain forces that are acting upon each other, surrounding each other, and motivating each other. You know, they change each other, you see. All those forces change each other. They play upon each other, if you will. They have an interrelatedness, a communion, a communication, a sharing of. And in the sharing of, they're all changing. You all think that you are so separate. I assure you, when you go out of this room tonight, you will have changed each other. You, yourselves, will have changed each other just by the very fact that you were all in the same room and you were all sharing of the same space. There is this movement that changes. And this is why they say when you are very serious about something, it often is best to surround yourself with people who are going for the same goal, because this heightens whatever it is that you wish to do. It works on any level, not necessarily the spiritual level, any of them. If you're going to be a doctor, it's better to be with doctors than it is to be with golf players, because you're going to get more of a movement, more of a strengthening, more of a coming and touching each other on the deeper levels of whatever it is you have decided to work together on. Now, in the same sense, when you decide for whatever reason that you're going to undertake a spiritual discipline, what you are perhaps not aware of is that which motivated you to begin it. Something has triggered you. Something has moved into your space of life and has jolted you on some level. It is what I would say is you are beginning to awaken. There is something in you that becomes alert. This can happen in millions of ways. We don't need to go into them all. But once that happens, then the pattern begins, which is that life draws like. And then you seek out, you go looking for, and then you find those that are seeking in the same way. And then you begin. Now, you are saying to yourself, ah, all this time you're meditating, all right? And you say, oh my, it is my meditation. And I say, what is really happening is far vaster than just your meditation. A meditation is just one small item. The reason I suggest it is because your lives are too complicated. If your lives are very simplistic, I would give you very different directions. I am not adamant that these two people meditate. I am that you two meditate, because their lives are in a very different harmony and yours are not. You see, it's a very different thing. Your lives are more complicated. Their lives are simpler. Things are different. There are no blanket rules. But by and large, meditation is one of the best devices. All right. So there is a movement between that spontaneous thing that woke in you, plus the desire and the accelerated activity of the meditation, plus what happens to you in your meditation, plus your energy field, which now changes and draws people to you and books to you. It is this energy field that draws items to you, books, people, events. All of these things are changed because, you know, you're always changing. You know, this is something we must understand. You are always changing. And you can tell pretty much about how your life is going by who your life is surrounded with. You can tell a lot about yourself by who the kinds of people that are intimately surrounding your life. I don't mean your neighbors. I mean intimately surrounding your own intimate personal life. It tells you a lot about your goals. It tells you a lot about yourself. It tells you a lot about what it is that is meaningful to you. It is very pointless to say to me, oh, I am really interested in the spiritual path, and then every night you go to the bar. I would have a little trouble believing you, unless it was a very special bar. Now, if it was a very special bar, then I would really stand corrected and would very much like to witness such an event. So I'm simply saying you can know a lot about yourself by what is going on in your world. Your world is an outpicturing of your own beliefs. You get what you want. You get what you expect to get. And one of the things that happens in this law is if you finally are getting motivated and reading all the books and finally are on fire now, oh my, there is such a thing as higher consciousness. There is. It's real. I know. I believe it somewhere in me. I now am absolutely sure. This changes everything, and it begins to bring people and events and circumstances into your life that continue to strengthen your belief, that continue to make you feel more right about it. The problem comes, and this is something that I think humans tend to negate, tend to not pay close enough attention to, and this is why I suggested that everyone pay attention to what's happening in their life. It is very easy to allow yourself a false harmony of thinking yourself to be in a divine rhythm when actually you have caught yourself in a rut. And I think this is very important. You must understand that if you look at your spiritual life and you see that it has gone nowhere for a few years, if it stays at a status quo, something is wrong. And it behooves you, just as when anything else is wrong with you, to take it seriously. Now, do whatever you want with it. If you're someone who needs an authority, go to an authority and say, I need help. If you're not an authority, take yourself as your own authority and say, I am going to examine. What is it, really, basically, dynamically, that's wrong here? What is wrong? Why not? Because if you've gone for any length of time into it, you know that it works. If not for you, it's working for somebody. Well, why not for you? And there is always a reason, and it lies within. Be aware of this, my friends. It is never outside yourself. The limitations you place on your expansion is never outside yourself. I don't care what circumstance you're in. There are historical stories, as you all know, even in this age, about the people under the most horrendously difficult circumstances have come to sublime realizations. Sublime. The Gestapo camps in Nazi Germany are filled with stories of this kind of understanding. The prisons that this gentleman worked in are oftentimes the seat of where deep and abiding realization comes, and freedom, the gates open and people walk out. I mean, all of these things happen. So it doesn't matter where you are, but what matters very much is where your mind is, because if your mind is blocking it, if your mind has set up a set of rituals, then you are blocking. And please, for those of you in the Shannon, is it the Shenandoah, who are listening to this tape, I would ask you to please be very careful and to write down carefully for yourself a list of what you consider to be necessary for your own freedom. Because whatever is on that list is going to limit you. And if you do not have the ability to manifest everything on that list, then you will not free yourself. Do you understand? It is a mental thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you write your list and it says, I must have a certain environment, I must have a certain place to sit, I must not do this, I must do that. If you have a long list of rituals and you are not meeting those rituals, then whether you are conscious of it or not, you are limiting yourself and you will not break through, because on the deepest level, you're believing those limitations. Do you understand what I mean? And I think it behooves every seeker to sit down and take very seriously their own private set of rules. You were speaking earlier about the sexual understanding and how some people say you must not have sexual relationships if you wish to have a full and enlightened state of awareness. If that is someone's belief, whether they are able to consciously think about it or not, if that is their deep belief, make no mistake about it. That will be an operative for them on the deep level. It will be there. So one has to take one's own belief structure very seriously. The exciting thing about it is you have built it and you can change it. Nobody else can do it, but you can change it. There is no belief structure that cannot be very easily changed into something that fits your own life and is needful and important to you. And it's not difficult to do. But the first step is, what is my belief? Do I really believe this is necessary? And if I believe it, then it's going to work for you, whether you are conscious of it or not. And many of these are below your level of consciousness. I will warn you. Many of them have to be looked at deeply and quietly in a state of deep understanding, you know, when you are in a quiet state, because they hide because you don't really like to see a lot of them, you know. They just stay there under the ground and wait for you. So bring them out.
Bartholomew, you were speaking of one getting into a kind of a holding pattern in one's spiritual life and not seeming to be proceeding any further. Something like that happens to me when I meditate, which is that I seem to get in a quiet state and I seem to the mind is still, and then it just stops somehow, and I don't seem to go anywhere with it. Is that bad or good? And if it's bad, what do you do about it?
I would ask you, when you are just sitting there, are you sitting there as the observer of you sitting there?
Well, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm just sitting there.
Well, if you're just sitting there, then you will just sit there. True. But there is, and you now know, that there is that state of that which is observing the sitter. All right? And that is what is going to free you. So be patient with yourself. It comes, and you simply have to sit there long enough, and it's many days, with a rigorous determination to just sit there until something changed. You know, the good Buddha comes with a great and illustrious heritage, and he sat, and you can sit. Of course, it'll take a little longer in your case, my friend. However, it can be done, and I consider that a mark of progress, and go, continue, and don't stop. But it's just a matter of doing it enough so that it becomes the usual, and it will come. Be patient. Because a lot of these things have to do with things that are not easily observable to you. And that, you know, has a lot of things that are not in your control, and you just simply have to just stay with it. And it will begin to unfold, and congratulations.
Of course, one of my rules is that it's going to take time. It can't
happen. Oh, well, then, sir, it will take time. Oh, my, it will take time, yes. I don't know if I have that much time.
I don't think I do either.
So it is your rule, and let us see if we can make short work of it. There is no such thing as time when we're speaking of spiritual understanding. How can there be time in spiritual understanding when it is always here? It's just simply a matter of, do you want it? And if one wants it enough, then one has it. And it's very simple, but they try and make it very complicated. One has to purify, oh my, so many rules and regulations, and then you wake up and you're dead and you've missed it, and then you have to begin again. And so let us put aside as many of those as we can.
You mentioned the observer. I find that quite often I find myself watching myself.
Yes, that's it.
Not out of the body.
No. One shouldn't be. I shouldn't say one shouldn't. That's not appropriate statement. What it is not as helpful to be out of the body watching. That is not the state. Because oftentimes, if you're out of the body watching, what you're doing is astral work, and that has nothing to do with what we're speaking about. No, excellent. That's precisely the point that one needs to reach. Could you think of any questions on meditation that might be helpful? By the way, I would just like to say, I don't care how one sits. You know, there's a lot of talk about should one cross one's legs and put one's hands in one position or in another, or should they be on your knees, or should they be this and that, and so on. And I think that a lot of time and energy is wasted worrying about how one sits. I think one should just get about the business of sitting down somewhere on something and then allowing it to move for you in whatever way is meaningful. I think it's very foolish for someone who has severe knee problems to try and sit in a cross-legged position and spend the whole time worrying about their aches. This is pointless. If one is young and resilient, then by all means, get on the floor and do it, because that way, if you go and fall asleep, you won't fall so far. Other than that, I see no tremendous use for all these very fancy devices. Unless you're doing some specialized yoga, all right? You're doing Kundalini yoga, all right, but I don't teach that, so I can't speak to that. But of course, that all takes a certain kind of ritual, and by all means. But basically, sit down and do it. It's much better to just sit down and do it than to try and find out if you're doing it in precisely the right way.
state of the heart rather than the state of the body.
Or the state of the mind, right. Because the mind, for many people, is the focus. Yes, it is one or the other, by all means. You can be in the absolute most beautiful seated position and be thinking the most hateful thoughts, and I really don't think it's going to do much good. It's just a matter of where your awareness sits. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, actually, I have another question. Apparently, Ramana Maharshi urged the people in their meditations to bring their mind into the heart center.
Yes.
To bring the focus of their awareness into the heart center.
Yes.
Would you speak about that?
I would speak about it and say that I think it's wonderful, but I find that many people cannot do that until further on in their meditative states. And the ones who are deeply meditating will start wherever they please. Many start with the third eye because that's where the glamour comes. There's a lot of glamour in the third eye. Lights go on and off, and people appear and disappear before your very eyes. You create worlds and goddesses and so on, and it's all great fun. And that is a very natural and normal excitement, and so be it. But even those people eventually end up being trapped because the energy will, on its own, move quietly down to the heart center. Because what happens, you know, if you have a full rising of the energy, it goes up the spine and it comes around and it falls into the heart center.
Uh-huh.
But many people don't have it that way. They just feel the drawing to the heart center, and so be it, and it rests there. And of course you know why it was there, because that is the furthest from your mind. That center is the furthest. You know, they don't want you to drop lower, because then you get into a lot of other fascinating energies, you know, below the navel, which don't really help your meditative state very much either. So it's a nice compromise, and it is the seat of much. And of course, you know, it's not really. There is no real place in the body that it sits. But it is a very helpful and dynamic center in order to give you the least resistance. If you do it in your head, you know what goes on up here. There's lots going on up here. So therefore, one can have great fun and spend, you know, a great deal of time wasting your time. But in the heart, yes, by all means. I don't mean your physical heart. I mean in the heart area. By all means, it is the more quiet place. It is the place where one will naturally go to. Watch yourself. Let us say you're in a state of great anger, or great sorrow, or great whatever, one of the great emotions will come upon you. And you will notice that it's this energy, this area is where the energy focuses. And these are the two major, you know, your throat will tighten. And your chest will tighten. Is this a true statement for most people? Maybe I'm wrong. Is that a fact? Mm-hmm. Seems to be that way. And this is, of course, because the chakras have closed off, because the energy centers then just go into withdrawal. They go in to protect yourself. The energy is bound there and is no longer moving because you are resisting whatever has come, and it binds in upon you. And you wish to voice it or free yourself of it, but you stop it here because you are afraid, usually, of the power of that emotion. Therefore, you keep it within you. You focus it in your throat, or you focus it in your chest, and you keep it impaled there, in a sense. And at those times, especially if it's in the throat, it's most helpful to pull it all the way down into the heart and only deal with it in one area. And if you stay with that energy long enough, if you do not allow yourself to deflect it in any way, if you stay in that pain and take it seriously as one of the emotional fields of the life force that's moving at that time, and you can stay with it and not try and throw it away from you, not try and get away from it, but simply stay with it because it's the reality, it's there. In that process, you will begin to become familiar with it, and more at ease with it, and eventually unafraid of it. Because, my friends, you are afraid. You are afraid of your deep emotions. Because you somehow think that if you let your emotions go, that you are going to be an animal. This is the one thing that humans keep forgetting. You have bought the idea that you have come from the animal world, and that you are somehow bound by that energy that is animalistic. And therefore, you clamp it, because you are terrified. And the sad thing is that the more you clamp it, the more likely it is, when it does let go, that you will resemble an animal a lot more than if you were able to be honest and literal about it as it came out. I don't mean spraying it on other people. I mean, just understanding it within yourself and acting, being aware of that energy and not trying to close it off. Do you understand? There's a way of seeing that that energy is nothing more than power in motion. That is what emotions are, power in motion. You put the names of good and bad on it. You are the ones who decide which ones are good and which ones are bad, which ones you'll allow yourself to experience and which ones you won't. And there isn't anyone in this room that doesn't have emotions, all of them. It's just a matter of, are you honest with them or are you not? Are you able to face them or do you hide them? It's just simple. It's just very simple. But understand that the more you hide them and pretend that you don't have them, the more likely, when they do come out, you're going to be rude, snippy, whatever. And if you hold on long enough, oh my, then you can really have a good one. Are there any other questions? Has this gone on enough, do you think? Oh, yes.
Excuse me, I would like to ask a question about the meditation. Because I seem to hear two different things.
All right.
One is to sit still and clear your mind as much as possible, and then sometimes to say, think deeply on this drink, whatever it is during meditation.
Think deeply on what?
Well, you said several things. One is your instruction of how to sleep.
That is not meditation. I understand. Yes, thank you. Meditation is simply quieting. Introspection is that when I ask you to look at your belief structure. And that is not what I would necessarily consider a meditation exercise. I do not think that in the beginning stages of meditation that anybody really meditates. I think they spend a lot of time in the first maybe years with some people going back within and finding what's there, you see. And introspection, if you will take the introspection seriously and find out what it is you believe, that is introspection. That is not meditation. I do not think that you will be able to go deeply into the quietude of meditation until you have confronted your own demons, because they're on the first level. And this is why I say, by all means, look at them. But that is not really meditation. But I think it is extremely helpful, and anyone is a fool that doesn't take their own demons seriously. But it is two different things. If you rise early in the morning to have what is called a formal meditation, then I would suggest quietude. If you are drawn to mantram, oftentimes mantram for 10 minutes quiets things to such an extent that you can become more clear. If you have a breathing ritual that is helpful, clear is the thing. They're gimmicks, my friends, only gimmicks. But that is one thing. But I have always asked for those who are serious to take some time in the day, whenever it behooves them, to do these other things until they really know who they are. Do you know that there are many people that have no idea that they have anger in them? They have no idea of this at all. And they stand in lofty judgment of other people because they have anger. And they themselves are just sitting upon a great barrel of it. But they cannot bring themselves to take that part seriously because they do not verbalize it. Because they do not get angry, you know, outlandishly angry. They think that there is no anger. But you know, anger manifests in many ways. Bad temper is anger. You call it bad temper, it's anger. And oftentimes the barrel sits right below. But you see, until this generation, I would say, it was considered unladylike or ungentlemanly-like to have anger. Gentlemen are allowed it, of course, because everyone knows that men can have anger, right? But women were not allowed anger. So many women go their whole lifetime totally unaware that they have anger, but it out pictures in physical things.
So what you're saying is to use introspection in the first stage before meditation?
I would say...
In the first stage, it's used for the same word.
I would say, may I be specific about you? All right. I would say that you are ready for definitely for meditation in a quietude sense, by all means. But I would ask that you spend more time taking your belief structures and your what I call the demons seriously. And it doesn't have to be in the morning. It can be in the evening instead of 20 minutes instead of a book or whatever. Just get in there. get in there and know yourself. I don't mean in some kind of a morbid, judgmental, difficult sense. I mean, get in there and look at your own thinking. See the kind of thoughts you dwell on. Understand yourself. And as you understand yourself, you won't fear yourself. The problem is, my friend, you do fear yourself. You do not believe that you are not these animalistic people that go around hurting each other. You keep trying not to. The fact is that you're much nicer than you let yourself know. So much nicer than you let yourself know. Am I connecting with you? Do you understand what I'm saying? That there is nothing in there that you need to fear. Nothing. Nothing in you to fear. Nothing. So in getting into that and getting to know your inner self, you will start to have a very exciting thing happen. You will start to see that you are just fine. Thank you very much. You will see it. And then other people can fuss around and call you this and call you that. And somehow you are not pulled into that quite so readily because you have experienced something that is true. And the more you do this, looking at it all as it comes up and paying close attention, oh yes, you'll find that out come the demons. By all means, let them come. Because what also comes are the angels, if you wish to put it that way, the great divas. It's all there. But what I assure you is, and I'm speaking specifically to you now, what you will find is there is a great deal more of the diva kingdom, if you wish to talk about that, than there is of the demon. And you will see it. And just bringing them out and looking starts them, and then you're free of them. Because you'll know, and you will trust. Because this terrible fear that somehow human beings are going to do something outrageous. Because people do things outrageous. There's no doubt about that. And I'm simply saying, take these things seriously, get in there and find out who you are. And when you know, then there's no more need for introspection because you will have seen. You will understand how you think and why you respond and what it is that you're afraid of. You will see it very clearly. It will not be a mystery to you. Humans are afraid because they do not want to plumb the mystery of the first level of their understanding. An ego is nothing more than a series of events tied together in your own mind, a series of thoughts tied together. You tie them together. They come and they come and they come. They are not tied together. You tie them together. But when you get in there and you see this ongoing parade, somehow, my friend, you will not take them very seriously. You know what I'm saying? You will get in there and see what it is that you are. And much will just go.
To come to an understanding more and more that I am a force field. How should I make?
All right. I'm speaking now to this gentleman. I would like that on the tape. Because one of my biggest problems is giving specific advice and then having other people jump into it and it doesn't work. Of course, you are a force field. And you are something far vaster because the force field is infinite, timeless, endless. My suggestion to you in meditation is simply, as you seat yourself and as you quiet things down, to simply allow yourself to begin to experience that force field. Don't put a name on it. Just sit there. It will begin, and probably in some cases already has, had a physiological effect on you. Do you understand? Things in the body, the physical body, begin to have certain responses. Force fields have movement. As you sit there, just quietly, just be with that force field. And I will warn you that it will start to move. And just go with it. All right? It doesn't matter where it goes, how it goes, this way, that way, allow it. Just allow it. If it takes on a sound, just stay with the sound. All right? If it takes on a sound, will you stay with that sound? Do you understand? If it starts to rumble, if it starts to sing, if it starts to vibrate, just move with it. I don't think you'll have any trouble. Just stay very, just stay with it. No gimmicks. No gimmicks. Because what you know in your mind, you're ready to understand with all of your being, and that's all you need to do is just stay with that, because that is, of course, exactly what you are. All of the rest is irrelevant. All of the rest is illusion. All of the rest will die. The force field remains. And that is what thou art. And good luck. Have we missed out on anything? Can you think of anything, any questions that might have been raised about meditation that we didn't cover?
I wondered whether there's any explanation you could give for the unusual wisdom that seems to come in your answers to the questions that you have. See what I mean?
How it works? What do you mean?
Well, there is such wisdom in the universe.
Oh, yes.
But it's focused here.
Yes.
And now.
Yes.
Through you, through this channel.
Yes.
And, what's back of that? Is there anything we can understand that's going on that brings that about?
Well, my friend, I can come in on two levels, all right? I will come in first on the highest level, and then I will step it down for those who would feel more at ease with it in its second form. The truth is absolutely that there is nothing that exists that is not dynamic, undulating, ever-living power, light, sound, whatever. It is always and at all times surrounding, abiding within, circling around, hovering about, however you want to look at it, everything in the createdness. Everything in the createdness. But because there is a need to focus it in a more powerful beam, if you will, then we have to use gimmicks. And when I say we, I am speaking a lie. Because there is no we. There's only one. But in order to match my awareness with yours as best I can, I speak in terms of we, because you are used to these terms, and I choose to commune with you rather than to separate from you. Whenever there is a real call for wisdom, it is answered. Always. And it is always answered in that way that will be closest to the understanding of those who are making the call. Therefore, when someone is just beginning their understanding, they will be drawn to and hear things on one level. And this feeds them with great joy and beauty and delight. If you wish to go, it would be fine if you needed to go.
No.
Well, I understand. on one level. And this gives them the answers necessary. But then there is that time when there is a movement of those who say, I am ready. I am ready for the all. I am ready for the end of the game. I am ready. And that call goes out. And it must be answered. It was answered in this way, in this form, for various reasons. One, it was known that on the earth plane it is extremely unlikely that people listen to normal human beings. You do not listen to each other. This woman could sit here and say what I am saying, and you would not believe her, or you might, or you, who knows. But it would not. Because if she wanted to speak as herself, I could, or the power could manifest its boldness for her instantly. Do you understand? If we did not have this gimmick of separation, which there is no separation between her wisdom and mine, if we did not have this separation gimmick, then she could speak as herself, and the power would manifest But people would not listen because they do not believe yet on this earth plane that humans have access to this. And the truth is, my friend, that they do. At all times and in all places, they have absolute access to this wisdom. There does not have to be, at any time, any gimmick to stand between you and the wisdom. There never has to be. It is simply that we must play the game according to your limitations. And one of your limitations is, if the woman were to speak, you would say, oh, well, isn't that nice? There would be no belief. If she could perform miracles, yes. But she has absolutely no intention of going under the rigorous discipline necessary to perform great miracles to awe all of you. It would take years. But if she could do so and perform all of these miracles, yes, then perhaps. But that is not her way, and she would never go into that kind of a training program. Therefore, we use what is here. And what is the fact is that when it comes this way and the power builds sufficiently and changes are made and the wisdom speaks, then people listen. We will do anything we can, my dear friend, anything. It matters not to us. You have set the rules, we play it. But be aware of this. Any instant that you wish to drop every gimmick in the book and have direct relationship to the wisdom that is manifest, it will be yours. The minute that is your desire, it will happen. And the minute the woman faces up to her own divinity, I will not be needed anymore. Do you understand me? The minute she claims for herself the wisdom of the vast self, then there will not be a need for this gimmick. And this, do you understand me? But she refuses to believe that she has this wisdom. Everyone in this room refuses to believe that they have this wisdom. So we must perform according to your ritual. And this is the ritual at the moment. Has that answered your question? We would like most to manifest in every instant of your day. We would like most to have you be so tuned in quietude within your being that the words of love that the vastness holds for you would be felt at every instant, so you would never yearn, so that you would never hurt, that you would never sorrow, that you would never cry. The vastness of the divine yearns so much to manifest in that absolute intimacy of your own being, to the total exclusion of needing anything other than that, to fill you constantly, endlessly, joyfully. But you have made up your mind that you must have other bodies to give you this joy. You have made up your mind that you have to have vast and complicated interrelationships to have this joy. And therefore, we must manifest as others in order to fit your scheme. But that is not the truth. It never has been the truth, and it never will be. You do not need anything. You do not need anyone. You have it all. You are it all. And you have never been anything else. So, I thank you for coming. I've enjoyed having you here. And we will speak tomorrow. I greet you. And how are you? Understand, I am at your disposal when you need me. I wait for your call whenever you're ready. Good night.